Praise God. Thank you guys for serving in the ways you have served. Hey, church, good morning. It's good to be with you. My name's Mike, if you don't know me, and I'm the lead pastor here. And I want you to know more than anything else that God loves you. God loves you. Now, we're today in our final week of this message series called God's Story, Our Purpose. And it's in this series that we've been looking at what the Bible says about three words: Jesus, community, mission. This is God's story. This is our purpose. Jesus, as we treasure Jesus, because we're loved by Jesus. We don't treasure Jesus in our own strength. We receive the ability to treasure Jesus because we're loved by Jesus. Yet the love of Christ isn't the only something that we receive. It's something actually we become. The love of Christ, the gospel, actually transforms us, makes us into a new person, transforms our identity, our being, transforms our purpose, the way we live out our lives, our doing, the actions we take, the thoughts that we think. It transforms our worldview, the way we see the world around us, the people around us. And so it's only as we're loved by Jesus that we can actually fulfill the mission that we have as a church, is to treasure Jesus and to love people. Community. We become gospel-rooted community by being loved by Jesus. Gospel-rooted community is community that actually flows out of Jesus Christ. There is no other way for gospel-rooted community. It's a community that's being transformed by the love of Jesus, the gospel. It's rooted in our union with Christ. It's embracing our new identity, our purpose, our new worldview that we have in Jesus. It's being humble and honest. It's extending grace, because now our lives are actually rooted in grace, and it's those roots that give us the grace to give to others. It's forgiving others as Jesus has first forgiven us. It's trusting God with our relationships so that we can experience God's plan of reconciliation. Now, I just want to pause here for a second just to say community is hard, and I know that. And I know each and every person in this room has a story with community. And some of you, it just comes natural, comes easy, but there's a point where it becomes difficult. And some of you have had a really hard go with community. You've experienced hurts and pains in community. And if you're honest, you may be repelled a little bit by that idea of deeper vulnerability in community. But here's the deal: gospel-rooted community in Jesus Christ is a safe space because we're always leaning back on Jesus. And so it takes intentionality to step out in faith into the heart of relationships. And so for those who may be here today and you don't feel connected, if you only show up here on Sunday mornings and that's the only fellowship you have with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're missing out on the opportunity that God has to grow you up in gospel-rooted community. It makes sense why you might feel disconnected. Community takes the gospel. It takes a whole lot of the grace of Jesus Christ. It takes time. We were made for community. And God wants us to depend on Him to lean into it. So Jesus, community, and then because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has already finished and accomplished for us, we live our lives by going on mission. And this is what we're actually going to spend our time talking about today: Jesus, community, mission. Order is actually essential. Jesus, community, mission. Mission. So here's the big idea I want you to see today. This will be on the screen. We live on mission because we're sent out by Jesus. And so our text today will be the Great Commission found in Matthew 28. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. That's what we'll look at today. We'll start in verse 16. You might also find a Bible underneath one of the chairs nearby if you didn't bring a Bible with you. We'll also have the words on the screen. But before I go there, the Great Commission, I want you to know, is not only found in Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission actually refers to the promise and instruction that God gave his people in which we're invited to participate. Now, in some ways, the Great Commission is all the way back in Genesis. Well, let me show you just a thread of this in Scripture. Genesis 12, 2 through 3. We'll put this on the screen. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so here, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, we see this promise from God to bless his people and bring them into unity under his name. Another example of the Great Commission in the Old Testament is found in Exodus chapter 19. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You can maybe think of the language that Peter wrote there. These are words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. And so again, we see God, he promises to fulfill that covenant with his people. A covenant is made between two parties. And in general, we both have responsibility to fulfill the agreement. But we've fallen into sin and we've chosen sin. We're unable to fulfill it. And so God made a way through Jesus Christ. I want to show you a couple more passages. Psalm 67, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise you, O God. And so Psalm 67 gives us this vision that worship is the goal of missions. It shows us that God's covenant promise is not only for the Jewish people, which we also see this in Psalm 96. It says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And we also see it in Isaiah 49:6. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And there's many more texts in the Bible. I could just read them all morning to you. But when Jesus, I want you to think of this, when Jesus gets to this mountain in Galilee with his disciples, he's not introducing a new concept. The heart, the very heart of the Great Commission has been expressed from God to his people throughout Scripture. And at its root, the Great Commission means to be sent by Jesus. Yet in Matthew 28, Jesus is revealing a bit more clarity about the promise and the instruction for his followers. And so let's go ahead and look at that together. Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. Matthew writes, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what does this text actually tell us about being sent by Jesus? Look at the text with me. Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples. So there's disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples. And Jesus, he gives direction about what they're to teach and what they're to do. Jesus promises to go with his disciples. Did you notice, though, that there's actually no discrimination here? We already saw in Psalm 67 and Psalm 96 that Jesus, here, he clearly declares that his gospel is for all people. And this was actually a radical message for the Jews and the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They had been living under this impression that the good news of God was actually promises only for the Jews. But here in Matthew 28, and we see it actually in the Old Testament as well, that Jesus debunks this false teaching in a very clear manner by saying, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And so being sent by Jesus involves both his instruction and his promise. His instruction is his command to go. He speaks the words. He says, go. He wants you to go. The promise is his provision to fulfill the command. And so how are we sent by Jesus? How are we sent out by Jesus? Well, there's three ways that we'll see in the text that I want to kind of draw out today so you can see it too. The first is we live on mission because we're sent out from Jesus. I want you to look at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is not a statement just to gloss over. Guys, Jesus' authority is the vehicle for our going. Jesus' authority is the vehicle for our going. Jesus is the source of our going. It's out of being rooted in Jesus Christ that we go. This is not just something anybody puts on their task list for the day and just accomplishes it. There's an empowerment and an equipping that happens through Jesus Christ. It's out of Jesus that we go on his mission. And that's what it means when John talks about, and we'll get to this in a few weeks, John chapter 15, where he talks about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. The branches get their everything from the vine. We get our everything from Jesus. And so all of the provision necessary for the branch, which is us, to produce fruit actually comes from the vine, who is Jesus. And so it's because we're rooted in the gospel, who Jesus is, and what he's already accomplished for us, that you and I go on mission, God's mission, and we fulfill the Great Commission. Now Jesus, he continues in verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why does he say that? I think it's because it's Jesus' mission. Jesus is the one who ordained the mission. He created it. He defined it. He's executing it. He's the one. And so it's in the triune God's name that we actually live out this mission. When we do baptisms, it's the sign that points to God, to Jesus. It's really not about us. It's really not about us like making this grandiose decision in our lives to follow Jesus. Yes, we've done that. But it's under the name and headship and authority of Jesus Christ. He's the one who gave us faith. He's the one who gave us grace. He's the one who put his spirit in us. And so it's his name that proclaims the source of the mission. It's his name that proclaims who sent us. And consequently, it's by the authority of Jesus that we actually live on mission. That's why any of us go and live out the Great Commission, by the authority of Jesus Christ. The only reason we go is because of that. Now, furthermore, in John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. We'll get to this as well as we're going through the Gospel of John. We'll jump back into John's Gospel next week. And so John 17, he prays for the disciples who were with him while on earth. And then he says to God the Father in verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And so Jesus, he sent his disciples into the world so that others would know the gospel, know the truth of God. In John 17, 21, Jesus prays to the Father so that the world may believe that the Father sent him. And so let me show you on the screen here, verse 23, Jesus prays. He says, "I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." Verse 26 says, "I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." You see, Jesus, he desires that his people would be united to him as one. This is union with Christ kind of language. Jesus wants his people to be united to Christ in the love of Jesus. And then after Jesus rose from the grave, he actually miraculously shows up with his disciples in this room while the door is locked, and he says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And then in verse 22, "And when they had heard this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Guys, I want you to see what's happening here. That Jesus, he's sending his disciples with the authority and the equipping that they need. He didn't just kick them out of the house and say, "There you go." Jesus is saying, "I'm the authority, and it's from me, it's out of my authority that I send you. Now you have me with you always because you have the Holy Spirit." And so if you're in Christ, you are sent from Jesus. You're sent from Jesus' authority, like an all-access pass to the nations. So you follow Jesus, you go where he goes, because you're in him. You're sent from Jesus, and that's his equipping of you. He equips you with his love, which are your gospel roots. And so, church, tap into the source. That is Jesus. You are sent from him. The second thing I want you to see from the Great Commission text in Matthew is we live on mission because we're sent out with Jesus. Jesus offers us just such a wonderful and marvelous promise in verse 20. He says, "And behold," he says, "look," he's like grabbing you by the face, saying, "Look at me. I am with you always, to the end of the age." And so, friends, the good news is we don't go alone. Jesus, he doesn't send us alone. He goes with us. To be united to Christ is to be in Jesus. I've shared this before, and I've heard other pastors share this as well, that it's kind of like traveling in an airplane. You don't follow the airplane up in the sky. You don't travel underneath the airplane. You're not over the top of the airplane or next to the airplane. Guys, you're in the plane. And so to be in Christ is like riding in a plane. Or it's like, hey, if I said to you later today, hey, do you want to go on a road trip to Florida with me? Let's do it, guys. Let's do it. We got some takers. Hey, better yet, I'll pay for the fuel, the lodging, the activities. Hey, this is great, right? What would you have to do? You'd have to receive my invitation by, like running alongside the car? No. You get in the car, right? You get in the car and you go for the ride. And so to be united to Christ means that you get in the vehicle. You're in him. You're with him. Let him fly you. Let him drive you. To be sent out with Jesus is the ultimate encouragement. You are not alone. And so Jesus imparts courage to each of us as we go. He goes with us. Now, I've heard it many times before. I've even said this myself, that I'd share the gospel. I'd share the gospel with somebody else, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Well, here's the glorious news of this truth, is you don't have to know what to say. You don't actually have to know what to do. You just got to get in the car, right? Do you remember the blind man? If you've been here through our Gospel of John series in John chapter 9, do you remember him? Wasn't that a wonderful story? The man born blind, he was healed, he was given sight by Jesus, and then one of the very first things he sees with his very own eyes is Jesus, God, right in front of him. And then do you remember what he did? He went and proclaimed what Jesus did. He told others what happened to him. And I know some of us just have this mindset like, well, my story, like he didn't make me see. I wasn't blind and he made me see. Like I don't have this story that seems ultimately significant. If you think that way, let me encourage you to think a little differently. Because you were once dead in your sin. No pulse, no heartbeat, dead. And Jesus made you alive. That's a miracle. And that's a story worth telling. And so living sent isn't always about going on a trip. It's not always about being in vocational ministry. It could be. It's not always knowing what to say or what to do. It's simply being faithful. It's being faithful to proclaim what Jesus has done in your life. And ultimately, he's taken somebody who's been dead in their sin and made them alive in Christ. It's telling others what Jesus is doing in your life. And some of us, maybe we just need to step back and have more solitude in our lives to think and pray. God, what are you doing in my life? What do you want to do in my life? And how can you help use that as a gospel proclamation as I would tell others? And it's not bragging on ourselves, it's bragging on Christ. And so, friends, it doesn't need to be done on a stage or in front of a bunch of people. It's about being faithful to point people to Jesus. It's inviting others to join you on this walk, this journey, this life forever with Christ. And the bottom line is that Jesus promises always to go with you as you go with the gospel. Number three. We live on mission because we're sent out for Jesus. Okay, in Matthew 28, who is it that came to the disciples? Who said he holds all authority? Who gave the command? Who made the promise there in Matthew chapter 28? Okay, where are the kids in the room? Kids. Okay, you're here, you're listening. You know who it is, don't you? So on the count of three, I want you just to say his name, to shout it out. One, two, three. Yeah, that's right. It's Jesus. And so it's in Jesus' name that we pray. We baptize in the name of the one and only triune God. We obey Jesus. Why? Why? Because we're actually sent out for Jesus. We're sent out for Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he wrote this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And what does that mean? He's going to tell us here after the comma. God making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him, that's Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, because we've been reconciled to Jesus and by Jesus, we are now ambassadors for Christ. And God is making his appeal through us to others in the world. And it was for our sake that God made Jesus to be sin. He didn't sin, but he took the place of it, a sinner. He took the place of a sinner on the cross so that in him, we, if you look at your neighbor, it's we, might become the righteousness of God. And so we don't just take on Jesus' righteousness. We become it. And it's declared by God himself through our justification. By faith alone. And it's transformed through our sanctification in our everyday lives. From this day to our death as we enter into glory and eternity. And so those who are in Christ actually have a new identity in him. And a part of that new identity is actually to be an ambassador for Jesus. That's part of who you become. An ambassador for Christ is one who carries the authority, the message, and values of Jesus. And I want to show you a few verses earlier what Paul writes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. Listen to these words. For the love of Christ, what does it do? Controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. He's saying that if I look different than the way I lived before, if I look different than the way I lived before, it's actually because of the love of Jesus. For the love of Christ controls us. His love has moved me. His love has compelled me. It's become the cause of everything I do. And so when the love of Jesus gets inside of you, you can't help but be controlled by it as you become an ambassador for Christ. And let me encourage you, because you might wake up one morning and not feel controlled by the love of Christ, and you may not be living in such a way that feels like you're living as an ambassador of Christ. I have those days too. But God is faithful to do his sanctifying work in us all. And praise God that it's not by our feelings that we are justified. It's by his declaration of grace to us. And he pours out and gives us a new identity called ambassador of Christ. And so those who follow Jesus are ambassadors of Christ. And so do you know what that means for the church? The church is an embassy for Christ's ambassadors. And the church is not primarily a building. The church is a local group of believers who actually gather. They gather faithfully to live out their unity in Christ and gospel-rooted community. And so as the church, we gather to worship and we gather to connect, to be loved by Jesus and to love others as Jesus has first loved us. We actually gather to taste the Sabbath with Jesus. That's why we gather. And then each week, as we conclude this assembly, we walk out those doors and we're actually sent out from Christ, with Christ, and for Christ. And we go and we make disciples wherever the Lord takes us. Remember, we're in the plane or in the car? We go from Him, we go with Him, we go for Him. And we're sent out for Jesus. Why are we sent out for Jesus? Because we're ambassadors for Him. And so this is what Jesus was saying to His disciples on this mountain in Galilee a long time ago. And why we read these words today, because He's also saying it to us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Guys, I hope you see today that going with the gospel, it's all about Jesus. It actually has very little to do with you and me. And it has a whole lot to do with Jesus. And so we live on mission because we're sent out from Jesus, with Jesus, and for Jesus. And as you're sent out this week, and you go about your week, I want to encourage you to view your relationships and your calendar as a mission field. Who is it that you know that you could invite over to your home for supper? Who could you schedule a time for coffee? Who is it that needs to hear the good news of Jesus to experience the love of Christ and the gospel-rooted community that you're a part of? People are not projects. And we don't convince people to turn to Jesus. That's the Spirit's work. Yet we have the wonderful, sacred privilege to introduce people to living a life with Jesus. What a delight that is. Before I pray, I want to read to you out of John Piper's book, Let the Nations Be Glad, The Supremacy of God in Missions. I've loved this quote for years and years and years. In chapter one, the very first paragraph. Here's what it says. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions, we simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. I love that. Friends, the vision is not about us. It's about God and His glory, and He invites us in to partake in that, to be participants. Jesus, community, mission. I just wonder, as I've been praying over the past several weeks for our church, for these messages, I just wonder, what if we were a church that would let Jesus love us through the good times and the bad? We'd continue to grow in that. Well, what if we allowed Jesus' love to actually transform us into the gospel-rooted community he's called us to become? Not just do, but to become. What if? I mean, can you imagine the impact that may have on Taylor County and beyond? Can you imagine how God may make FBC a beacon of hope for the spiritually lost in our community? Can you imagine how lives may be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, which supersedes all else? Friends, I want to be part of this, something like that. And I bet you do too. So let's pray for that together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've invited us into you. For those of us who have surrendered ourselves to you, we are yours. And it's by the miracle of your grace, dead to alive. We're in you, you're in us. You've connected us to your body, the church. And you're doing a good work in us, transforming us day after day, moment after moment, into a beautiful gospel-rooted community that's marked by your grace. And so, Lord Jesus, as we participate in our union and communion with you, we thank you. We thank you that you allow us the sacred privilege of being sent from you, with you, and for you. What a joy it is. And may our lives be great commission lives that continue to be transformed by you. And so it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, in 1930, there were Christians who were sharing the gospel in China, and they were experiencing some pretty severe persecution. And the mission agency that was working with them is called China Inland Mission. And instead of pulling back and saying, you know, we need to pull back, they sent word to the United States saying, we need 200 more workers to be sent. And in cooperation with that, there's a man named Frank Houghton who was commissioned to write the lyrics of the song we're about to sing, which we've done here before, called Facing a Task Unfinished. And this song was meant to send them out with the courage and the hope that we've just seen in the words of Jesus in his word. So as you stand and we sing this together, think of those that have gone before us and how the words of Jesus commission us still today.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees. Our slothful ease, we who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Where other lords beside thee, Jesus died and arose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message. Ours, fired by the same ambition, to thee we yield our powers. We go to all the world with kingdom hope and firm. Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, Father, who sustained them? Oh, Spirit, who inspired? Savior, whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired? From
friends, as usual, we'll have a prayer team up here. Pastor George and Ariel will be up here after the service. If there's anything going on in your life that you would like lifted up in prayer, and have someone else do that with you and for you. But as we go today, I want you to hear again Jesus' words to you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. First Baptist Church, you are sent.